Now, the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Donato's Pizza on 1010XL. Here are your hosts, Ryan the Hacker Green and Leon Searcy.
Offset eye, play fake, Roethlisberger fires middle of the field. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown. Eric Ebron right down the middle of the field made the catch. It's going to be a touchdown, and the Steelers have extended the lead at TIAA Bank Field.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars Radio, and with that, a very good evening, Jacksonville. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Donato's Pizza, a special Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter as we are coming to you live from Island Girls Cigar Bar over in Gate Parkway. We will explain to you why we are here in just a moment. But Leon Searcy, the Jacksonville Jaguars lose their ninth game in a row today, 27-3 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jake Luton of the Jacksonville Jaguars throws four interceptions. The Pittsburgh offense basically does whatever they want in the second half. And the Jacksonville Jaguars now, and it's a bad stat, but it is a stat, 100 losses officially in the Shad Khan era, making him the second fastest owner to 100 losses, only one game back of Hugh Culverhouse back in the 1970s with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bad day in Jacksonville, certainly a great day for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hack, it was a drubbing. It was a beatdown. It was a bludgeoning. I mean, it was clearly, Pittsburgh Steelers were clearly the better team in the game. I mean, the speed of it, if you just watch the speed of it, if you just watch how the Jaguars played in the game, you watch how the Steelers played in the game, it was just an elite level. I mean, for offensively, defensively, the way they got after the Jaguars defensively, the way they calculatedly went down the field and scored touchdowns and kicked field goals, I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, that shows you the level of disparity between the two teams, because the Jaguars just simply were outmatched from the start to the finish.
Yeah, it was a bad performance all the way around. The good news, though, for us here on Sunday evening is, even though we're going to talk about the Steelers' 27-3 beating of the Jacksonville Jaguars, we are out here doing the fifth quarter at Island Girl, you and I's establishment, if you will. And I have spent many a time up here together.
We broke bread.
We have broke bread many times. You have a special event going on basically right now up until 9 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Hack, I'm glad that we can make it. I'm glad that 1010 allowed us to do the show from here. But I'm doing my book signing, Hack. I mean, I've got corporate sponsors, I've got friends, I've got associates that have bought into the book that made this event happen. I mean, my book is doing well on Amazon and Kindle, paperback as well, because of these people. These people, the sponsored events, the sponsorships that came in that helped, you know, provide the ability to do these kind of launch parties for my book. So I'm very appreciative, I'm very grateful and thankful for it all, because, I mean, without them, I mean, my book wouldn't have been the success that it is right now.
Leon will certainly be with us for a couple of segments tonight. In between times, we will have former Jaguars hopping on. The Mangler, Greg Huntington, is going to join us. I see Big Sofa, Damon Jones in the house. He's going to join us. A couple of former other Jaguar players as well throughout the evening as we're with you till 8 o'clock. Okay, Jake Luton today, 16 of 37, 151 yards, no touchdowns, four interceptions, a quarterback rating of 15.5. 15.5. Leon, the talk all along has been, let's see what we have in Jake Luton.
Mm-hmm.
Today was a bad day.
It was a very bad day
for Jake Luton.
It was.
And the question moving forward, now with six games to go, once Gardner Minshew is healthy, do you put Gardner Minshew back in the lineup?
Listen, I don't know if Gardner's going to help. I don't even think Gardner could have helped this game, to be quite honest with you, because the truth of the matter is that the Pittsburgh Steelers set the tempo of the game on both sides of the ball, especially defensively. Here's the thing with Luton. His pocket, his presence in the pocket, he just seemed rattled. I mean, the blitz, the pressure that they were bringing Luton from outside to inside, he just was rattled. And then when he had time, when the pocket was clean, a lot of his throws were overthrows, underthrows that led to interceptions. So, I mean, the Steelers had a lot to do with the fact they dictated the tempo of the game. They blitzed him. They put him in situations that compromised his ability to make passes. And a lot of his passes were overthrows for interceptions or underthrows. So, I mean, kudos to the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, because they dictated the tempo of the game for the most part.
Yeah, it was an absolute drubbing in pretty much every facet of football. I guess the one silver lining, again, as we try to find some positivity about the Jaguars, James Robinson again ran hard, 17 carries, 73 yards for James Robinson. He also caught two balls in the air for 21 yards. So James Robinson, 94 yards all told for the Jacksonville Jaguars today. Other performers include DJ Chark, 4 grabs, 41 yards. Tyler Eifert, a couple of grabs for 32 yards. But, Leon, when you don't score an offensive touchdown, when your quarterback throws 4 interceptions, it's kind of hard to find anything positive to say about the offense today. I mean, today was reality. Today was what it was. And what it was a what looked like a varsity versus a junior varsity. It also didn't help that it happened to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, and 90% of that crowd today, at least it looked like, maybe 75% might be.
No, 90 is about correct.
You think it's 90?
It was 90. I was there.
It looked like 90% of that crowd was Pittsburgh Steelers.
It was.
Fans.
I was at the event. I had the honor to say the Duval before the game.
Yeah.
Might have been 15,000 fans in the stadium, but I guarantee you 13,000 of the fans were Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Because when I said the Duval hat, I had a whisper of Duval when it echoed back to me. But yeah, listen. That's the difference between a team that's going to be making a playoff run and a team that just is in shambles. This team looked pedestrian at best. Outside of the initial first drive of the game when they went down and scored a field goal, Pittsburgh controlled that aspect of that game from the middle of the first quarter all the way to the freaking end. And they gave us mercy by bringing Rudolph in the game towards the end because Big Ben, they sat him because there was no need to utilize him anymore.
Well, that was what I was telling you earlier. When you watch the game, there were parts of the game where it didn't even look like Pittsburgh was really even playing all that well. I mean, they've certainly played better at times this year. They had a couple of drops. Roethlisberger overthrew a couple of passes. I mean, they did not look great the entire game. And yet you look, and it's a drubbing. It's 27-3 without Pittsburgh playing their best game.
Heck, that's the scary part about it. Like, Pittsburgh wasn't one on their A game. They may have been in their A-minus game and still came away with a 24-point victory. I mean, but Pittsburgh, they deal with it. They did, like I keep saying, they dictated the tempo. They put Jacksonville in situations where they were fighting for their lives, especially the way they attacked us defensively. Offensively, you're right. Big Ben, they weren't clicking. They didn't run the ball as effective as they usually run with Connor. I mean, but their wide receiving core and Big Ben, his ability to stay in that pocket and not get pressure, I mean, he just dissected us anytime he won. You know, it's almost like the Steelers were toying with us. You know, it's like the Steelers were saying, look, we could score 40, but 27 is enough.
Yeah.
Because they missed a lot of passes. There was a lot of overthrown passes, a lot of missed passes by the Steelers. And the Steelers, if they were clicking on all cylinders, this game would have been blown out by the third quarter.
It was not a good day for Juwan Taylor.
It was not.
You are the best right tackle that's ever played in Jacksonville, so certainly you have a unique perspective. Juwan Taylor, we were very promised by, you know, very excited about after his rookie year. He looked like he showed a lot of promise coming into year number two. I'm not saying it's been all bad, but, boy, today was pretty bad for Juwan Taylor.
Well, it was pretty bad for him because how he blocked in Florida is not going to translate over into the NFL. T.J. Watt is a stud. He is a beast, all right? He's going to manipulate you in your sets. He's going to get you to underset. He's going to get you to overset. He's going to swipe at your hands. He's going to double move you. He's going to head fake you. And Juwan Taylor got the plethora of all that, and Juwan has just got to keep growing. He's got to understand that when you're going against perennial all-pros, they watch film, they look at your tendencies, and they look how to manipulate you to get you in bad situations with your feet and your hands. And for the most part, throughout the game, D.J. Watt dictated the tempo of Juwan Taylor's pass sets. And for the most part, he manipulated him and beat him on more than one or two or three to five occasions.
Phone lines open, Jacksonville, 641-1010. If you want to get involved in the program tonight, you are more than welcome to do so. 641-1010. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Donato's Pizza, and we are coming to you live here from Island Girl Cigar Bar on Gate Parkway. Leon, before you get to the book signing, we're going to have you back in the 7 o'clock hour when we have former head coach Dave Campo of the Dallas Cowboys on defensively for the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. You're 1-9 now. You got 6 games to go. and you're starting to have people drop off like flies. Josh Allen gets hurt today. You were already without C.J. Henderson. You were already without Sidney Jones. We saw D.J. Hayden get hurt again today. Chris Claybrooks got hurt again today. It is going to be a battle to keep these guys up mentally, emotionally, playing through injuries, still playing hard. Now that you're guaranteed a losing season, you're about to be mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. We all know that's only a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it going to be to keep these guys motivated to fight through injuries to finish out this season?
Well, Hack, I don't know if you're old enough to remember the TV show MASH, but that's what we have. We have a MASH unit right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got guys beat down, on especially the defensive side of the ball. And I'm a little concerned. I don't know what the issue with Josh Allen. That looked like a bad injury.
Yeah, Josh Allen looks bad. Yeah.
It looks bad. That might be an ACL or whatever. But listen, only thing you get paid the big money to keep these guys motivated. I mean, there's still, what, 7 games left in the NFL season? I mean, they're 1-9. They've lost 9 in a row. You got to somehow earn your paycheck. It's going to be a task for the coaching staff to keep this young team motivated to keep going, because with being 1-9 right now, this team could easily fold their 10 in this call of the season.
We'll have you back in the 7 o'clock hour when we have Dave Campo on. Final thought from you before you get to some book signing obligations here at Island Girl. Just an overall thought. I mean, it's not rock bottom, obviously. It's not a rock bottom situation for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but it certainly is not a very good situation right now. 27-3, you lose to Pittsburgh today. It was a majority Steeler crowd in the stands. You wore this uniform. You played for this team. How down is the Jaguar franchise right now? Because I got to tell you, there's a lot of former Jaguars in this room right now. Every one of them's come up here and just shook their head. Just said, my goodness, today was really, really bad.
Well, it's frustrating, Hack, to be a former Jaguar player and to see this team in disarray as it is. The front office did a hell of a job dismantling this team, pulling away a lot of veteran leadership, you know, strapping the team, trading guys, not really making any necessary moves to help this team win any football games. What's even more troubling about this is that the fact that the fan base just doesn't seem to care anymore. The fan base has dialed it in.
Should they?
You're exactly right. I mean, when that is the product that you give us every Sunday, I mean, why should they be motivated to cheer for this team anymore?
Bad situation. The Jaguars have lost 9 games in a row. Jacksonville phone lines open at 641-1010. Leon will rejoin us in the 7 o'clock hour. Coming up next, a fellow former Jaguar offensive lineman, the Mangler Greg Huntington, will join us live from Island Girl as we break down the Jaguars' 27-3 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. How's this to tell you where these two franchises are right now? Pittsburgh achieves 10-0 status, right? 10-0 on the same exact day that the Jaguars suffer their 100th loss in the Shad Khan era dating back to 2012. That's where we are. That's reality. Reality is Pittsburgh remains undefeated and the Jaguars fall to 1-9. We got a lot to do, Jacksonville. We're glad you're with us. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida, 5th quarter. We are presented by Donato's Pizza with Leon Searcy, the Hacker Ryan Green with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Is the Window World of Northeast Florida 5th quarter, presented by Donato's Pizza on 1010XL.
He drops the throw again. Look, fires deep along the right sideline. He wants Claypool. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown. A perfect throw. Roethlisberger to Claypool, and the Steelers are in the end zone. First touchdown of the game.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguars radio. That was one of many touchdowns for the Pittsburgh Steelers today, as they defeat the Jacksonville Jaguars 27-3. The Jaguars have now lost 9 games in a row. Pittsburgh improves to 10-0 on the year. Every week here on the 5th quarter, we do give you an offensive player of the game. Some weeks are easier than others to find the offensive player of the game, but we have found it this week. It is the Plunk's Concrete Recycling and Demo offensive player of the game. And RJ, let's do it right now.
Now, Plunk's Concrete Recycling and Demo presents the offensive player of the game.
James Robinson of the Jaguars, 17 carries, 73 yards. Also caught a couple of passes out of the backfield for 21 yards. I believe he crossed the 1,000-yard threshold on the year for total scrimmage yards in 10 games. So congratulations to James Robinson. It was a lackluster offensive performance, but he still did a couple of nice things. As I welcome in former Jacksonville Jaguar offensive lineman, the Mangler, Greg Huntington. Greg, first off, it's been a rough football season for you. Not only do you bleed, Penn State Nittany Lions, but you're a Jacksonville Jaguar through and through, and you have not had a lot of success this football season.
Yes, this is true. I mean, my Nittany Lions are 0-5, which is the worst start in school history, is unbelievable.
You're 1-14 combined.
Exactly, and with the Jaguars, I'm what am I now, 1-9? Something that people may not know about me was my two dreams growing up in life were to play at Penn State for Coach Paterno, because my dad had gone to Penn State. His dad went to Penn State, so it was kind of a legacy thing. But they were Steeler fans, and so my other dream was to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I was drafted by the Redskins. I played with the Redskins, came here, played with the Jaguars, finished with the Bears, and then I get a call from the Steelers in 2000. Now, it was 5 weeks. It was training camp. That was it. I made it to the last cut, but I still got to wear the Steeler uniform, which was good for me. I mean, but I will say this. If I gravitate towards a team that I have the most loyalty to, it's definitely the Jaguars, because – I was one of the original 10 player signs. It's a smaller market. People still know me around town. You would know me in Chicago or Washington these days. So I love being here, and I can only hope. I'm always the eternal optimist when it comes to the Jaguars and them being better than what they're putting on the field.
Yeah.
But, having said that, when I watch these guys, and we're the youngest team in the NFL, I don't think they ever quit and give up. They seem to fight all the time. And a guy like, I'm so impressed with a guy like James Robinson, who runs hard between the tackles, who pass protects. Today we saw him, catch a ball downfield. I think the offensive line, they're doing a good job. They're doing better than what they've done in the past. So I think there's a lot of maturity that's happening with this team that should pay dividends in the future. That's not to say you don't need to add veteran talent in certain areas, and I think you need to.
And I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think the Jaguars are playing hard, Greg. From a fan perspective, from a media perspective, fans are tired of hearing that. 8 out of the last 9 years, we've been told that they're playing hard. 8 out of the last 9 years, we've told the fans, well, they're still battling, and they haven't given up on whoever the head coach is. At some point, those are just words. And at some point, you need to start having more points on the scoreboard than the other team. And you've been here for a while now. You've made this your home. You played here, as you mentioned. This is the first year I can remember where fans are just sick of it. There's no more excuse-making. There's no more, well, we want to win to feel good going into the offseason. That's all hogwash at this point. When you've been as horrible as this franchise has been, really dating back almost a decade now, at this point, lose every single game that you can to hopefully get that franchise quarterback.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't begrudge the fans, because being here as long as I have, the fans have really overcome a lot and been resilient in order to support this franchise. So they should have every right to display their disdain for what they put on. You're right. The way I look at it, it's really been 2 decades of being in the doldrums. I mean, you can look at 2017, which was not necessarily an anomaly, but things lined up. But other than that, I mean, maybe David Garrard and a couple playoff, it seemed like the first decade of our franchise, we really had a tremendous amount of success.
Yeah.
2 AFC championships games that we went to, winning seasons. So, look, if there's, I always say this, I identify myself more as a fan than I do even a former player, because it's really been since 2000 for me. So I'm always on the side of the fan, because I so appreciate the fans, because without the fans, we would just be playing a game of pickup football. And they have every right to just be upset about the product in which we're putting on the field. At some point in time, something needs to change. You look at the Steelers, I mean, 6 Super Bowl wins. They're a storied franchise. It seemingly, no matter what odds they face, put out a good football team every year.
Well, it's like, why can they find Chase Claypool,
right,
and we can't? Why can they find this guy, Deontay Johnson, and we can't. It happens all the time. Now, can you say, well, it's because they have Ben Roethlisberger? Well, maybe. But even last year when Big Ben got hurt and they were playing Mason Rudolph and at time they were playing third-string quarterbacks, they still won 7 or 8 games with a third-string quarterback in there. And it's just you see this over and over and over, and it gets very, very tiresome when you watch the Jaguars fall on their face every single season.
Yeah, I mean, the difference is, and I know Leon's even spoken to it on your show, which I listen to just about every day, and y'all do an excellent job. I so appreciate y'all's knowledge of the game. But the Steelers are a success-driven organization from the top down. They just do everything with a professionalism and an idea that winning is what we expect around here. And Coach Tomlin has done a great job under his tenure. And other than the Coughlin years, I don't know that we've had that same level of mentality.
Yeah.
You can say a little bit about that maybe about Jack Del Rio. But other than that, it doesn't come from the top down.
Well, in 26 seasons of Jaguar football, the quarterback that's most recognizable with this team, the Jaguars traded a mid-round pick for to get him from the Green Bay Packers in Mark Brunell. They have never drafted their guy. They tried with Byron in 2003. They tried with Blaine Gabbert in 2011. They tried with Blake Bortles in 2017. Neither or all three of them never came to fruition. And when you see what Herbert's doing with the Chargers and what Tua's doing early on with Miami and obviously Jared Goff taking the Rams to the Super Bowl and go on and on and on, you see these young quarterbacks developing and performing for the franchise that drafted them. The Jaguar fan base in 26 seasons has never experienced that.
No, and now that you bring that up, let's talk about the possibilities going forward. Do we feel like a Justin Fields is that guy, or is it Trask from Florida, who I watch and I'm very impressed?
Yeah, and you hear all over the lot with Kyle Trask. Some people love him. Some people don't think he's a first-round pick.
Right.
And there is not a lot of gray area. People have very strong opinions about Kyle Trask. Well, let's get to the phone lines, Mangler. We got people lining up, 641-1010. Let's go to the west side, get Lauren up here on the fifth quarter on 1010XL. Lauren, go ahead.
Bro.
What's happening?
So really enjoying listening to you guys. You know, whether it's a football team or an architectural company, when you're considered a professional, when you have a franchise, and these guys are professional football players, and they're not taking the opportunity to be professional football players because somebody's not communicating well with them on how to do that. When you're a quarterback and two guys roll in and put their fist inside your helmet, into your face, and you're laying on the ground, and I don't care if you're Aaron Rodgers or who you are, you get up and you look at a referee and you go, hey, look what this guy just did. And they look at it on the big monitor, and they go, oh, 15 yards, throw a flag. And I saw a bunch of stuff going on today that was where there was dominance purposely being shown over the Jaguars because they were doing pretty good. These guys were giving it their best, and no, there was no coaching that was coming out there and getting mad on the field when a guy tackles a guy, and then after he tackled him, he throws him back down on the ground and stomps him. And that happened today. And it's
Lauren, Lauren, appreciate the phone call. We got to move on. Look, I don't think the NFL is out to get the Jacksonville Jaguars. If anything, the NFL, if they missed a couple calls today, that's doing the Jaguar a favor. And you know, Greg Huntington, the Mangler with us, we talk about with Leon every single day, all right? And Leon's got the player perspective. You will as well, but I'm curious. You understand why the thought locally is lose as many games as possible now,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
I mean, you get that.
Of course I do.
Now, from a playing perspective, I'm sure you don't like that, but at this point, you're out of the playoffs. You got to get that franchise quarterback. You got to lose out.
No, I understand that. From a player's perspective, you're right. Unfortunately, in all my years in the NFL, I was on more losing teams, losing records, 4-12, 4-12, 6-10. It's never said, you know, we're going out to lose a game because, and I don't think it would be appropriate to say that. But at the same time, you do want to see progress with your team, okay? in certain areas that gives you hope for the future. But at the same time, you definitely want to put yourself in a position to get the most talented player in the draft. And if that's Justin Fields, because I don't think we're getting – the way the Jets are playing, I don't think we're getting Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Jets are not very
Fields,
good.
Justin Fields isn't Trevor Lawrence. I'm just going to tell you that. There's a big disparity between even those two players. I've watched Justin Fields now, and I think he's got the arm, he's got the grit. Whether, again, we've talked about it, you can make the – you know, at the NFL, everything speeds up. So can you make the progressions and the check downs? Or is there somebody else that we're not even thinking of? But, yes, at this point in time, you want to try to keep it respectable, but at the same time, you want to put yourself in the best position to draft the best player available.
Entertain us on Sunday. Find a way to lose in the fourth quarter. That's been my motto. Let's get one more in this segment. Again, 641-1010 is the phone number. Let's go to Tallahassee. Let's get Jonathan up here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Jonathan, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Jonathan, we're hanging in there at 1-9, my man. How are you?
I'm good. Here's my question. My question is, how much longer do you go with Jay Gluten before you pull the plug to go back to Gardner Minshew?
Jonathan, thank you. It's a fair question. Mangor, I'll throw it to you. Jake Luton, four interceptions today.
Yeah, look, I watched him very closely. I think he has a much stronger arm than Gardner Minshew does. He is a rookie, okay? And some of those, he airmailed a few passes that ended up as interceptions. There was a few that were tipped up in the air. Honestly, I think you stay with Luton. I think he looks to me like more of the prototypical NFL quarterback. Don't get me wrong. Gardner Minshew will always get an A for effort. But I don't know that he's your guy. And Luton may not be your guy either. That's why we're looking for, Justin Fields. But
yeah, your long-term answer at quarterback for this franchise, Greg, is not on this roster right now.
That's probably correct.
Yeah, whether Gardner, Luton, Glennon, whomever, you got to do something at that position. Really appreciate you joining us. Final
Absolutely.
Thought while we got you here. Your experience in the league, the Jaguars are 1-9 now. Injuries are starting to pile up. Guys are dropping left and right. How hard will it be to keep this team motivated now that the playoffs are mathematically pretty much over?
Well, I already think they probably knew that they weren't going to make the playoffs, even though it's mathematical now and it's, check the box. Again, I think these guys, they're young. They're playing to gain experience. I was disappointed. I say disappointed when you see so many guys go down with injury, which injuries are injuries. I mean, they don't purposely try to. The Josh Allen thing, I don't know. I mean, that could be a knee, which doesn't help anything. I just think they continue as a young team to gain as much experience and confidence. Because, everything boils down to in the NFL is confidence, whether you can gain it or you cannot. I mean, I remember I came into this league when there were guys like John Randall, Reggie White, Eric Swan, right? And here you are, a college kid coming in and playing against what you consider, forgive my French, grown-ass men.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get to a point where you develop the confidence to say, I can block these guys. I can go up against them. Or you don't, and you don't have a long career. And so a lot of it comes down to confidence. So hopefully they're building confidence as much as they possibly can. That only help them as they become older and experienced team.
That is the Mangor, Greg Huntington. Greg, appreciate it, my friend.
Always, my friend.
You're back here on the fifth quarter, the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Donato's Pizza. We are live at Island Girl Cigar Bar on Gate Parkway. Leon Searcy's having his book signing, and Leon's cigar brand is actually available to purchase here at Island Girl on Gate Parkway. Big Sofa Damon Jones is in the house. We're going to have him hop on with us in just a little bit. Tom McManus in as well. We're going to talk to Tommy right at the start of the 7 o'clock hour. Jacksonville, we're glad you're with us on the fifth quarter. With you till 8 o'clock right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Donato's Pizza on 1010XL.
Glad you're with us live from Island Girl, Gate Parkway. Leon Searcy having his book signing. He'll rejoin us in the 7 o'clock hour. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Donato's Pizza. Big Sofa Damon Jones, 60 seconds away. Before we catch up with the Big Sofa, we always give you a defensive player of the game. It is brought to you by our friends at Superior Fence and Rail. RJ, let's do it right now. The Superior Fence and Rail defensive player of the game.
Jacksonville's building a fence along the goal line. This is the Superior Fence and Rail defensive player of the game. Superior Fence and Rail, where quality matters.
Joe Schobert, the leading tackler today for the Jacksonville Jaguars. 13 tackles, 8 of them solo. Obviously, was making a big impact for the Jaguars. Some of those actually came in the backfield. Schobert's made a lot of tackles this year, although most of them have been down the field a little bit, but not today. Give the guy credit today. 13 tackles is a good day any way you slice it. And Joe Schobert is this week's Superior Fence and Rail defensive player of the game. Let me welcome in the Big Sofa, Damon Jones, former Jacksonville Jaguar tight end. Damon, how are you, my man?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. We're good. Former Jacksonville Jaguar player, you tell me your thoughts on not only today but the season that's been to this point.
It's tough to watch. I mean, it's tough. As a Jaguar, former Jaguar, you obviously want the Jaguars to have success and, build on some of the success that we had in the early 90s, late 90s, I'm sorry. But they're a young team. Obviously, they're struggling at the quarterback position. They're not being able to move the football. Robinson has his, he's been able to, be effective, but overall, they haven't been able to move the football and score points, enough points to win football games. And that's obviously what it is, and they haven't been able to do that. Defensively, they're very basic. I know how to attack the Jaguars. I mean, they've played the same coverages. I think when I look at, Ty Walsh, I think he should have been gone a long time ago. I'm sorry to say that, but he should be.
You're not alone in that line of thinking, believe me. And look, do we want people to be fired? Do we come on here every day, and is confetti going to rain down when people lose their jobs? Of course not. But you know this. This was your life in the NFL. It means not for long if you're not performing. That means players, coaching staff, GMs, et cetera.
And it's all the same. And I don't think he's – even when you look at the Yannick situation and the way things soured, I don't think he felt he was being put in the best situation. When you look at, Josh Allen and Yannick not being on the field at the same time last year, and Josh Allen, almost leading the league as far as rookies with sacks, think how effective he possibly could have been even better with, the line slide maybe to Yannick one and getting that one-on-one coverage. So yeah. I think, that's not giving our athletes a chance to win and be productive. And when you don't do that, you lose football games. When you lose football games, you lose your job, and that's just how it is.
It's every year. And look, you've been around this community. You're like Greg Huntington. You've made your home here ever since your playing days. The fans, it's like the anger, I guess is what you call it, has kind of boiled over here in 2020. And you can't really blame them, right? The Jaguars have arguably been the worst team in the NFL for the last decade. Record-wise, like we said at the start of the show, since the beginning of 2012, they lost their 100th game today. Put that in context, the Jaguars are 41-100. Pittsburgh is 90-50-1 in that same time frame. The Pittsburgh Steelers have won 50 more games than the Jaguars dating back to 2012. That's outrageous.
It is. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars have got to do is find a way, or they've got to implement a system that's going to continue to work. When you look at the Steelers, they've played a 3-4 defense since I played against them, and they draft for the 3-4 defense. We don't draft – we draft players that could possibly play 3-4, 4-3, and we don't put them in the best situations. We've got to draft for our team to be good, and hopefully we've accumulated a lot of draft picks, and those players will come and be great players, or some will be great players, and some will be good players, but – They've got to find a way to get a motto or some system to get to turn this thing around.
Former Jaguar Big Sofa Damon Jones here with us on the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Donato's Pizza. Let's not all do doom and gloom. It's not good. 1-9. They've lost 9 in a row. Have you had any silver linings this year? James Robinson, the way he's played. What has stood out to you in a positive way?
Oh, I definitely think the offense has done well. They've had games where they've had an opportunity to win. Defensively, they've been let down. Offensively, they've been let down. So it's, I think, a combination of youth on that football team. I think some maturity will definitely help them. They're going through some growing pains, I think. And what I hope, like I said, their vision is when they went to New England in 2017 is they tried to develop that mantra, and they've accumulated a lot of draft picks. So that gives them a better chance to have better players on your football team. So if you miss with 7 draft picks, if you miss with 2 guys, you've got 5. But if you miss with 11 picks and you miss with 2 guys, now you've got 9. So you're still beating the NFL as far as what the team has. And that's what New England's done for years. So hopefully Jacksonville can find a way to do that. But the thing is, Dave Caldwell's had some really, really questionable picks. So can he bring these guys in that are going to be Pro Bowlers and going to be able to contribute and help this football team win?
And I think the interesting thing, Damon, is coming into this season, we all knew the Jaguars were probably not going to be very good. But it's one thing to know that in August. It's another thing to see that come to fruition in November. I mean, they haven't been competitive in a lot of these games. And I think it's just to the point now where you need to lose the rest of your games. It sucks to say that. And as much as you want to see the team win, you want to see the team succeed, for the long-term goal that you have is to turn this franchise around, you've got to get your quarterback. And you're not guaranteed of it, and I get it, but you got to take a chance with either Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields in the draft and see where the chips fall where they may.
I get that, and we've been down this road before. We've had so many great, you know, quarterbacks coming out of college that can't miss. The Tim Tebows, the Tim Couches, the Jamarcus Russells.
It's true. We've
had a bunch of quarterbacks that can't miss. You know, they've been 1-2. You know, guys that, you know, we're supposed to be the franchise's savior, and they don't materialize. So because everybody at Clemson is not going to the NFL, and everybody at Clemson plays against, even in the ACA, is not going to the NFL. So you've got to be able to adjust to that speed of the game as a quarterback. So, for me, I don't know how there's no way a general manager can go into a locker room and request guys to lose. You know, he has no control over that tanking or anything like that.
Right. No, I agree with that.
I mean, there's nothing he could do that. But to lose games, I mean, to go after a guy, I mean, you have to have a better plan to stake your franchise on one guy, is what I'm saying. Is you might get a quarterback, but you've got to get some pieces to go with it. We've got to build that offensive lineup. We've got to get some defensive linemen that can get after the quarterback besides Josh Allen. When's the last time we've got a sack?
Yeah, it's been a long
time. When's the last
time
we got a sack? When's the last time we got in? I mean, we got an interception today, but it's been a long time since we got a sack, right?
And Josh Allen only had 2 sacks on the year, and it looks like he got hurt today.
And he got hurt today. So, I mean, how we've got to get Taven Bryant. What has he done? I mean, he's a first-round pick that – and I've said this on my podcast. I've said it on several – he might be the worst pick in Jaguar history.
Well, I mean, R.J. Soward back in the day.
R.J. still had better stats than this guy. I mean, this guy is starting, and he's doing absolutely – I mean, and I get that the double team, and I understand all that you're taking on a double team, and you might not get the credit or the tackle, but this guy is doing absolutely nothing.
And you know, final thought nothing. From you. When you were drafted, when you played – and whether it was Coughlin back in the day or whatever it was, you guys came right in and you performed. And you guys were in the mix and you were making it happen. And we're just not seeing that from a lot of the young guys this year for whatever reason. And haven't seen it from a lot of the young guys in the last couple of years, to be honest.
It's coaching. It comes from coaching. And I think, you know, I even look at Blake Bortles. You know, even the maturation or the non-maturation of him. You know, his coaching, you know, they kept the offensive coordinator for him to, you know, after the 2017, and what did we see? We saw a regression. That's coaching. They did anything to challenge him and make him better. And I don't think Doug Marrone has done anything to make that 53-man better. As Coughlin, you know, said, you know, or did, we had to go out and practice every day and earn your job. So if you're just kind of going through the motions and practice and, you know, reading a script and doing that, you're not getting better. You got to compete out there. You got to be wanting to try and get better as a football team and stop going for mediocrity and settling for losses. you know, I know those guys don't want to lose. I know they're in that locker room, and that hurts those guys. But I think when you look at the coaching, you look at the front office, I personally think we need to make a change and find some new blood to bring in a new system, to bring those players in, to motivate those guys to play. We've got a very, very young football team with a core of solid football players. I mean, make no mistake, the Jaguars do have some young football players that can play. But when you talk about the draft picks that they have coming up, and if you can bring in a coach that can get those guys to buy into a true system and believe in it like Kansas City, those guys believe in Andy Reid. I don't think they believe in Doug Marrone like those guys believe in Andy Reid.
No, I would agree. I would agree with that. That is the Big Sofa, Damon Jones. Damon, appreciate you stopping by, my man.
Yeah, it's always fun to see you.
Number 88 in your program, number one in your heart, Big Sofa, Damon Jones. We'll come back 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter. We are presented by Donato's Pizza. We are live at Island Girl on Gate Parkway. Leon Searcy having a book signing. Fourth Down and Damn is the book. We'll have Leon tell you all about it when he rejoins us in the 7 o'clock hour. Coming up next, it's going to be a Rumble reunion here on the fifth quarter. Tom McManus will join me next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter, presented by Donato's Pizza on 1010XL.
Back here live from Island Girl, Leon Searcy's book signing. Island Girl on Gate Parkway. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter. We are presented by Donato's Pizza. Every week here on the fifth quarter, we do give you a special teams player of the game. That special teams player of the game is brought to you by the McKeever Clinic. RJ, let's knock it out right now. The McKeever Clinic, special teams player of the game.
Now, the special teams player of the game.
We be special!
Brought to you by the urological specialists of McKeever Clinic.
It's never good when your punter punts six times, but when the long is 67, he knocks one inside the 20-yard line. Logan Cook did his job today. So, Logan Cook, take a bow, young man. You are this week's McKeever Clinic special teams player of the game. I am having an absolute Rumble flashback right now. My guy, Tom
Hail
McManus.
To the punter.
Yeah, Tom McManus. Jeez. Tommy, how are you, my man?
I'm doing great, Hack. It's great to see you,
good
man.
Good to see you,
we're
man.
We're in person.
Yeah.
Like, normally I call in or you call me
or
whatever.
Oh, it's great. Tommy and I had some
long time.
Great times back in the day on some numerous radio
How many
stations.
Laps did you take?
A lot.
Not a lot,
yeah.
But a few.
Yeah.
A few. Those
boating trips you and I had were legendary.
Oh, my gosh.
As well.
What is that? Sun Cruise?
Yeah.
They were great.
Absolutely phenomenal.
We won some money. People had a blast. That was great. Great time.
Tommy, you do the Tommy Mac podcast on 1010XL.com.
Yeah.
So people can hear your thoughts every week on this Jaguar football team.
Yep.
1-9. They've lost 9 in a row. They lose today 27-3.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I had them losing 37-10, so I'm not that surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, look, they got a long way to go. We all know that. I don't give, you know, and don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, saying anything about anybody, but I don't give extra credit for, you know, trying hard. You know, you're supposed to try hard. You know, and when you're young, you don't know anybody or anyway. You're going to try hard. You're going to want to play. Look, in 1995, other than maybe, you know, our Pacelli, but who was a rookie, and then the Logamans of the world, a lot of us were just young dudes that had been cut a couple times or, you know, didn't make their first shot or what have you. And we didn't know anybody. We went 4-12 that first year. We stunk.
Right.
We're a terrible football team. But you know what? We came to play every single day. Why? Because our job was on the line. Even when we were losing, that was the deal. If you don't perform, somebody else will. Even when you're 4-12, so we've been through it before. Look, it's been too long. It's been too much. We all know the end of this year. We know the story already. It's time for a change. We have to change. Look, I don't want anybody to lose their job. Nobody does. But this is a game of football. It's a performance-based league. It's a performance-based job. And if you don't win, heck, it's time to move on.
You know, January 21st, 2018 seems like a decade ago. But that was the day the Jaguars played the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Since that moment, they've gone 5-11, 6-10, 1-9.
Yeah.
What has happened?
I know exactly what happened. They got a big fat head after they did such a great job in 2017. They didn't have the team. They didn't have the leadership inside that locker room to be able to handle that. And they crumbled. They believed the hype. They listened to the press clippings. They believed all the smoke that was blown up their backside. They believed in all of it. And it became more about the individual than the team. And this is one thing I've never understood about, you know, how to address a football team, even at the National Football League level. You're there to win. If you win, everybody makes out. I mean, you do. Even the backup guard gets a card deal. You know, I mean, it's the truth, especially in a town like this. If you focus on winning and not about your individual, you know, success, you know, am I going to be the Pro Bowl? Am I going to get this, you know, bonus, whatever? I'm going to show up, and it's not all Jalen Ramsey, who, by the way, was totally misused here for crying out loud. God dang, that drives me nuts. Why not press him every single time?
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal player regardless, you know, showing up in the Brinks truck. I think guys got a big head. I think, you know, Doug Marrone, he went from that hardcore, we're going to, you know, earn it to, yeah, you know, maybe we'll let you beat guys a little, you know, a little lackadaisical, that type of thing, and it doesn't work that way. So, look, I think that stems it, and I think overall, look, at the end of the day, Hack, they're not having a great year at all. They've got some players that are good that you want for the future, and then there's some that you got to upgrade, and that's going to come down to whoever's running this team, you know, from here on out. But at the end of the day, whatever's in place now isn't working.
You know,
it hasn't worked since that date.
3 years ago. I mean, 3 years ago, we had you on. I think I was on in the evening then.
Oh God.
And you said at that point, what are they doing moving Miles Jack inside? And I remember your exact statement. He's going to get caught up in the wash, and he's not going to be able to perform. They wasted, they being the coaching staff, wasted 2 years of that guy's career. On the outside, he's one of the best linebackers in football. To me, that, a decision like that is cause for some wondering if you have the right people in place coaching this team when a former linebacker like yourself knew that was going to be a problem 3 years ago before they did it.
Well, unfortunately, you lost Paz. That's part of that puzzle, right? You weren't expecting to lose him. He got hurt. He got hurt, and he couldn't come back from it. You know, it's just an unfortunate situation. I knew right away. Look, and here's the thing that makes Miles so special. He's a thumper at will.
Yeah.
I mean, you want him at your mic, but he's too athletic to waste that athleticism at the mic. It's like this. When you're in the mic, you're in the muck. There's muck everywhere, and you got to slosh through it. When you're the will, you're like in this open meadow chasing down. It's like taking on grizzly bears to a cheetah who's just running down his prey because he's so fast and he's going to get him one way or the other. So it's just a different type of the position. Look, that's one thing. There's other things that you can go through. I think at the end of the day, regardless of what the philosophy is, whatever the culture, whatever it is, it's just not working. Mm. And it's not going to work from here. You can't tell me, not that my opinion matters that much, but you can't tell me moving forward with the way things are currently, and we stick with that's going to make everything better. I don't believe that anymore, and I think a lot of fans feel the same way. We just don't believe in our leadership anymore.
Former Jaguar linebacker Tom McManus here with us. Tommy, it comes down to a quarterback, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we can talk linebackers, we can talk offensive line, but if you don't have the quarterback, nothing else really matters. I was telling, you know, Greg Huntington earlier, the Jaguars in 26 seasons got their franchise quarterback to this point, trading a mid-round pick to the Green Bay Packers in 1995.
You know,
they've never drafted their guy.
Let me just say this about that. Look, Luton's maybe not the guy. I get that. But you know what? When we had Brunell, so Brunell didn't light everything up that first year. We knew he was good. We knew he was tough. We knew he was going to be a playmaker. But guess what? And Boselli was hurt the first four games. So he didn't play till like, I think, week five. And then, you know, down the road, you knew that he was going to be really great. And then what happened? And then I'm not saying this because I'm at his book launch party, but then we brought in Leon Searcy to be that bookend tackle. And I'm not saying Luton's the guy because clearly he's not. But you don't have tackles like we used to have. You don't have those guys that can stop that opposing defense. I don't care. Steelers didn't mean anything to us when we played against them. Why? Because we had Tony Boselli. We had Leon Searcy. We had David Wydell. We had guys, you know, whether it's Ben Coleman or Rich Tilsky or Brian DeMarco, that were ready to go to battle and battle anybody. Do they need a quarterback? Yes, they do. But they need an offensive line hack. They don't have tackles that you can count on. They don't have guys that can dominate's thrown out too much. Who dominates anybody at the line of scrimmage? Controlled? How about we control that line of scrimmage so our quarterback does have a chance? Because let me tell you, I don't care who we bring in as a quarterback next year. If we don't have protection up front, he's toast, just like our quarterbacks have been the past few years.
Look at what happened to Joe Burrow today. Joe Burrow is playing very well for Cincinnati. The offensive line isn't adequate. Torn ACL, Burrow's probably out for the season.
You know, and that's unfortunate. But at the end of the day, look, was Luton off? Yes. But when you're under duress, your mind gets cuckoo. It does. Who does like to stand there and get drilled? Maybe Ben. He threw some dimes.
He did.
Gosh, dang, under duress.
And that's
too.
The thing. Why can Pittsburgh find Chase Claypool? Why can Pittsburgh find Deontay Johnson? They find all these guys every year.
Yep.
And meanwhile, the Jaguars, the stat's ridiculous. The Jaguars have won 41 games from the start of 2012 to right now.
Yep.
The Steelers have won 90.
Yeah.
50 more wins
in
that time frame.
I think two things. I think when they draft, they truly draft best player available that's on their board. They don't waver from that. That's their deal. And I also think, and have heard this from people, including a good friend of mine who's a huge Steeler fan, they don't care about that third contract. They'll let you go after the second contract. They want you. They either want you from the beginning where they draft it, take it to that end of the second contract, or they want to get you right after your first contract and take it to the end. They don't invest in that third, and it's that mindset of saying, this is who we are, this is how we're going to build the team, this is how we're going to draft. Look, I'm not in it day-to-day, neither are you, you know, as far as evaluating players and whatnot,
right.
But all I know is this, we're not... We're not winning.
No.
And it's terrible. And I don't care how close we get and how good we may look and how this and that. At the end of the day, we're not winning. And this city, just like every other NFL city, deserves a winner. They do.
Tommy, tell us about the podcast. What day is it's on 1010XL.com, the Tommy
yes.
Mac podcast.
Yes, thank you very much. So I come in on Tuesdays and Fridays and do the podcast. About 20 minutes long. Take a little trip around the NFL, but mostly Jaguar talk and post-game and then looking forward pre-game. Do it twice a week. And also, if I may, the horse's mouth is back in action. You got to come on.
Yeah.
I sit at the bar.
I love it.
We full TV show, full TV studio. We sit there and we talk business, we talk football, we talk sports, we talk Jags, we talk the city. It's all good stuff.
Tommy, you're
good
one of my fun. Favorites.
Yeah, likewise.
Tommy Mac,
yeah,
Tommy
baby.
McManus, former
Peace.
Middle linebacker of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Leon Searcy rejoins us next. Former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Dave Campo as well, as we're live at Island Girls Cigar Bar, Gate Parkway for Leon Searcy's book signing, Fourth Down and Damn, is the name of the book. We'll have Leon tell you all about it. It is the Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter. We're presented by Donato's Pizza right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Putting an extra 60 minutes on the clock. The Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter. Presented by Donato's Pizza on 1010XL.
Well, we got the star of the night back, Leon Searcy. Been whining and dining for the last hour. What a turnout here tonight.
Oh, it's been awesome, man. The sponsors are here. Friends are here. We got the food here, the drink here, cigars here.
Good night.
Great night, bro.
Good night. Island Girls Cigar Bar, Gay Parkway is the location. Leon, we're going to have former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Dave Campo, up here in about 60 seconds. Talk about the book, man. Fourth Down and Damn, doing very, very well. That's why we're here, for the book signing.
Yeah, I mean, Fourth Down and Damn, man, has been, heck, it's been like a 10-year project for me. I came across some publishing companies, marketing companies. People wanted me to take storylines out the company, out the book or whatever. I stuck true to it, and I found the right publishing people in WSA. They helped me finish the book. Mike Brodsky, he helped me. He was my ghostwriter and my author to help me finish it. So I'm excited about it. Actually, people don't know the damn part. You know, I think people just want to think. I just wanted to say a cuss word. But initially, I mean, initially my book was called Diary of an Athlete's Memoirs and Notes. And initially, when I looked at it, I said that's a terrible cover for a book, a terrible title for a book. But when I looked at the letters, I said it's spelled out damn. So I went with Fourth Down and Damn. A lineman story, and right now it's doing well. It's in Amazon's number two on the hot new releases for football biographies. So I'm taking all of this in. I'm enjoying it. I'm grateful and thankful for it all.
And if people want to get the book, is that the easiest way to go? Is it Amazon?
The easiest way to go. You can go to Amazon.com, and you can get it on Kindle, or you can go to LeonCersei.com. You can get the Kindle version of it, or you can get it's available in paperback as well.
When you get your own website, yourname.com, you've officially made it in life.
Oh my God.
All right, my goal in life is to have RyanTheHacker.com. I'm going to work on that beginning tonight. All right, let's get former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Dave Campo, up here. He's with us every week on the Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter. As always, we are presented by Donato's Pizza. Coach, how we doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. Again, another disappointing day, but congratulations, Leon. That's great. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for everything that's going on with you.
It's a great thing that Leon's doing.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Coach. You'll be happy to know that I put a lot of University of Miami fond memories of running those 110s in the book.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you did.
All right, Coach, let's dive into it. 27-3, obviously it was not a good day at the office for the Jaguars. And let's begin with Jake Luton, 16 of 37 for a .151, 4 interceptions. Why do you believe he struggled so much today?
Well, I'll tell you what, when he got going with a good first down play, he was okay because, you know, once he got into the second and shorts and some of those, he was able to do it. But once they started getting the second tens and third and tens, that pressure from, for a while there in the first half, Pittsburgh was getting a man free by changing where the guys were coming and showing one way, coming the other way. Listen, I think McManus said it right. When that quarterback starts getting hit, and hitting consistently, it screws with the mind. And I think he just tried to make too many things happen.
Now, Coach, when I'm watching the game, Coach, there's a clear disparity between the two teams. I mean, physical-wise, speed-wise. I mean, what did the Jaguars need to do to get to that level that the Steelers are? It's obvious the Steelers are in playoff mode and the Jaguars are struggling, but there was a clear distinction between the aggressiveness, the speed, and the physicality between the two teams. What does this team need to do to get to that point where they can actually be competitive against teams like the Steelers?
Well, first of all, again, I'm just kind of learning these guys, Leon, being out of the area during the football season the last couple of years. I'm getting the feeling that I'm not sure that they've had a real good picture of what they need, what they want, what their football team wants to look like. I listened to an interview from Coach Johnson on Goslin's show. And he talked about the fact that you have to understand what you're looking for as far as not just how they play, but what kind of people are they? Are they smart? Are they tough? Are they fast? That's how you build a football team. You have to know the player. You have to know them as who they are. The first four draft picks for us for the Cowboys when we got there were all academic All-Americans. Jimmy wanted smart guys. And smart guys get better. And I'm not sure that there's a clear picture of what this group wants.
Former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Dave Campo, here with us on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Coach, you talk about the identity. We know what the Steelers' identity is, right? They want to disrupt the quarterback. They obviously did that today. I thought Tom McManus also brought up a really interesting point. It's one that we're going to start talking about as we get closer to the offseason. The fan base believes, and quite frankly, I'm of the opinion as well, that a quarterback here, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, etc., that's going to correct a lot of wrongs. But, Coach, there is so much wrong with this team and this organization right now that it may still take a couple of years if you get the correct quarterback to really start being competitive in this league.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think that's correct. I don't think that, you know, a guy coming in next year, you know, look at Burrow. Burrow got hurt this year because they don't have a great offensive line. If when you watch our offensive line, there are some good things about this offensive line, but they are a much better run offensive line, in my opinion, than they are pass block. And, you know, your quarterback has to have clean view, and they're not getting that right now. And whether it's because they're behind or they're in certain situations, I think it's going to take another really good, solid draft. And as I'm looking at things, I don't know if this group is able to do that.
Now, Coach, Coach, initially when you went to the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, what do you say to the fan base here in Jacksonville? Because you obviously were in Dallas when y'all started off the first season at 1-15, but you had a game plan which you turned it around. You went 1-15 and 7-9. Next thing, you're in the playoffs. I mean, you and Coach Johnson need to actually copyright that plan that you had that turned the Cowboys franchise around. What do you say to the fan base when they see the roster being stripped, when they see you dumping guys, quality guys, you got the youngest team in the NFL, you've lost 9 straight? I mean, is it a matter of you just telling the fan base, look, you need to be patient, we've got a plan, we're moving forward? I mean, how do you approach the fans when you tell them that, what you're possibly on the road to a 1-15 season?
Well, here's the thing. You know, the thing that is disappointing to me is, you know, the one positive that we had in Dallas was that we were new. You know, this was a new thing. And, you know, we had a lot of confidence in ourselves that we were going to get the job done. It was just a matter of time. And like you said, we had a plan of what type of players we wanted. The Cowboys had lost the speed on their team. You know, Coach Landry's one of the great of all time, but they had had 3 straight losing seasons, 3-13. So we knew we had to improve certain things, and that's what we went at right away. The problem that the Jaguars have, guys, is that their administration is not new. That's going to be a tough sell, but really the only way it can be done is for them to use those draft picks next year and make sure that they get the right guy. And I'm not sure, again, whether or not this group can do it.
Dave Campo, former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, a couple of more for the former head coach. And Coach Campo, the thing is now, and you can obviously speak to this with some of the years you had in Dallas, at 1-9, injuries are starting to pile up. We don't know the extent of Josh Allen's injury, although certainly it didn't look good. The secondary is just decimated with injuries. To this point, Doug Marrone and the coaching staff have done a good job in having this team continuing to fight, continuing to play hard. How hard will that be moving forward? 6 games to go. You're basically mathematically out of the playoffs. Guys are going to have to play through injuries. I mean, is it going to be hard to keep these guys motivated, do you think?
Well, you know, I've watched this team, you know, for 10 weeks now, and I don't see any dip in the guys fighting. And unfortunately, fighting is not going to pay dividends unless you got some good players making plays. But this is a young football team. They know that they're behind the 8-ball right now. They know that their quarterback, you know, you got 2 quarterbacks that are basically rookies. You know, I think they'll continue to play because they're young and they don't know any better. And plus the fact that some of the guys are playing for jobs. And so, you know, I think they'll continue to play hard. The question is, I don't know if they'll win any more ball games.
Now, Coach, this team was, like Hacker just alluded to, I mean, they're decimated on the defense side of the ball. Offensively, they struggled. To first downs, turnovers. I mean, when you go into tomorrow at the film session, I mean, are you brutally honest with this team, or are you somehow lenient and keeping them motivated for the remainder games that they have for the throughout the season?
I think at this particular point, I think you're looking for little things, and I think you have to point out the positives at this point and say, look, if we just in the areas that we need to be improved, you just continue to coach the way you know how to coach. Look, the word, when you're talking about sales, and that's what coaching is sales, the words are only about 7% of what's important. What's really important is how you use the tone of your voice and how you use your energy and your excitement. So I think those coaches have just got to go keep rolling and say, hey, look, here's what we did good. We could get better at this. You know, we're one or two plays away from something good happening. We've got to win first and second down to set up the third and short. And that's what our focus is going to be.
All right, Coach, give us a quick thought on Cleveland. They come in here next week. Amazingly, the Cleveland Browns will enter Jacksonville at 7-3 on the year, certainly right in the thick of it for the AFC wild card. It is what it is. 1-9 versus 7-3. Maybe another long day at the office for the Jaguars next week.
Well, you know, my thoughts are this. They do have a number one quarterback. They do have some outstanding receivers. They've had a lot of number one and number two picks for a while now. So they're a pretty good football team, but they are not the Pittsburgh Steelers, in my opinion. So I would go in with the idea that, hey, look, this is a game that we got to take care of our business and work, and who knows whether we can win or not, but I guarantee you we'll play right to the end.
Coach, always enjoy the conversation. We'll do it again on Tuesday with you during XL Primetime.
Okay, guys, and again, congratulations, Leon. Have a great night tonight.
Thank you, Coach.
Head coach Dave Campo spent 3 years as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. All right, Leon, as we begin to wrap up with you, your former Steeler teammate, Ernie Mills, is going to join us. It's been a lot of doom and gloom from former Jaguars. I imagine Ernie will have a much different perspective on things. Final thought from you. Give the fan base some hope. I ask you every week, 1-9, Cleveland coming in next week. How do we keep you motivated?
They got to just keep working, bro. Got to keep working. Got to ignore the outside noise, and you just got to put your head to the ground and keep grinding. So, I mean, that's the only way you're going to be able to dig yourself out of this hole.
We officially have the two best offensive tackles in Jaguar history here at Island Girl. Tony Baselli has arrived. Leon Searcy here as well. This is Jaguar royalty that is here right now. Two of the top 15 ever to wear a Jacksonville Jaguar uniform. Leon, again, one more time, Fourth Down and Dam. Your book is out, the book signing tonight. Where can people go buy it if they want to buy a copy?
Well, right now you can go to leoncearcy.com. You can purchase it online there, or you can go to Amazon, and you can purchase it on Kindle, and it's also available on paperback.
Leon, we'll talk to you tomorrow at high noon on XL Primetime.
Sounds good, bro.
That is Leon Searcy. We got one segment to go on the Window World of Northeast Florida, fifth quarter, presented by Donato's Pizza. Let's catch up with former Pittsburgh Steeler and former Florida Gator, Ernie Mills. That's next here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter, presented by Donato's Pizza on 1010XL.
Welcome back into the fifth quarter, the Window World of Northeast Florida fifth quarter. We are presented by Donato's Pizza. Every week here on the fifth quarter, we give you a drive of the game. It is brought to you by Tire Outlet. RJ, let's do it right now. The Tire Outlet drive of the game.
Now, the Tire Outlet drive of the game. Tire Outlet, wholesale prices, premium service.
Well, when you only have one offensive drive resulting in points, it's pretty easy to know what the drive of the game was. The Jaguars went 9 plays, 52 yards, took 4 minutes off the clock, resulting in a Chase McLaughlin field goal to begin the game. That was the only points they would score, but that is this week's Tire Outlet drive of the game. Now, we've talked to many former Jaguars that are not exactly happy about the outcome today. Let's talk to a former Pittsburgh Steeler and a former Florida Gator, Ernie Mills, here with us at Island Girl on Gate Parkway. Ernie, it's a pleasure, and I imagine you had a much different perspective of today's game than Leon and the former Jaguars in the building tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ryan, for having me. I definitely have a different perspective. And my Steelers got another W at a time and undefeated this long for in the history of Steelers football.
Yeah, now, how does Pittsburgh do it with Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson? They just keep finding guys at the wide receiver position that are producing in a big, big way.
It's a tradition for the Steelers organization to find really good wide receivers. They've done a great job, even when they bring in free agents. They brought in some really good receivers. And a good thing when you have so many receivers like that with that talent that they have, I mean, all of them have great athletic ability. And Ben is just doing an excellent job getting those guys involved.
You know, you look at Pittsburgh, 50 years. Three head coaches,
right?
Chuck Knoll, who you played for,
right.
Bill Cowher, who you played
right.
for, and then obviously now Mike Tomlin. That is, you talk about a tradition of excellence.
Yes.
That is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, it starts from the top. It starts with the Rooney family, right on down to the three excellent coaches that they've hired over the years. And one thing about the Steelers, you don't see them rotate in coaches every one or two. 3 years. They even when they have a bad year, the fans and everybody might be a little upset, but the foundation is there, and still football is there.
How has Ben Roethlisberger been able to do it so long? The guy is just a machine in what is 17th year in the league.
Well, he's no stranger to the position. If you look at the way he played in college, I watched him play in college. My brother played at Marshall and played against him, so I was actually watching play live. And just the way he can dissect the defense, the way he reads the defense, and he can throw the football. I saw him throw it a lot when he was at Miami, Ohio, and he continued to do everything imaginable on the football field today. As long as he's healthy, he's going to play pretty well.
You know, from a former Steeler perspective, you live in Ocala, mm-hmm. so obviously you're very close to the Jacksonville. You follow the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with this franchise? I'm curious from a former Steeler to talk about the Jaguar organization. What is going on here that's not working?
Well, yeah, look at it. Whenever there's a change, they did make a change in ownership some years ago. There's a process through it. You're starting a whole another organization from the top down. And it takes a little time to get in. You're going to have some good seasons. As you said, they have some playoff runs. And then you don't keep that. You got to keep those nucleus of guys, and they haven't done that. And whenever you make those changes like that, you're going to struggle a little bit. You're going to go up and down, playoff, and what, just a few plays away from making it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then when you start making wholesale changes, you got to expect things to start from scratch. And that's hard to do. It's hard to do. It's hard for each player to get up for each game. I know it's a professional sport, and the guys are paid to do what they're supposed to do. But the talent, and when you got a young team like that, it takes a little while to get it connected. And you can't ever underestimate the importance of a good quarterback in this league.
Former Steeler, former Florida Gator Ernie Mills here with us on the Window World of Northeast Florida Fifth Quarter. We are presented by Donato's Pizza. What about the Steelers in the AFC, Ernie? Kansas City, obviously the defending world champions. We know they're good. Tennessee with Derrick Henry, we know how good they are. Baltimore is struggling a little bit. Heck, Cleveland is 7-3 right now there in the AFC North. How would you assess where the Steelers are as the postseason is now about 6 weeks away?
Well, I think one thing about being a Steeler player, we never look ahead. The next game is the most important. And I know everybody gets tired of hearing it, but that's just the way it is in that locker room. Right now, I guarantee they're thinking about Baltimore. That is a complete, huge rivalry. You could throw out the records whenever you play. Those two teams play against each other. That's how it was when I played when it was the Cleveland Browns. You could throw out the records. As a matter of fact, you could throw out the record when we played Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
You know, they find a way to beat us. So as a former Steeler player, we can't afford to look past the next game. And I think as long as they do that, they won't worry about what team lies ahead to prepare for them each week.
You know, not that I was surprised, but it looked like a Steeler home game today.
Yeah.
The Steelers travel better than any team in the NFL. And quite frankly, there are Steeler fans all over the country.
All over the country.
Was it that way when you played?
Absolutely.
It was.
Absolutely. You got to remember the history started with the Steelers, with Chuck Noll, and that Steeler defense, and Bradshaw, and Swan, and Stallworth, and Franco, and four Super Bowls in a decade, first time that it ever happened. It doesn't, you know, the fans start at that time. You got all those 70 fans, and I meet guys all the time. They don't remember when I played, because they still remember the Steelers in their fourth Super Bowl, and that's huge. And the fans just follow. So when they move away from Pittsburgh, or when you're picking teams when you're a young kid, back in those days, it was the Steelers. And you have your kids, most of them follow along and be Steeler fans, because there's always a chance of them winning.
And it's got to be so great for a Steeler player to go into an opposing stadium, yeah, and to see the terrible towels just flying.
Absolutely. It's amazing to walk into the stadium. It's amazing to get off the bus and to go into the hotel and see all the Steeler fans along cheering you on as you walk off the bus. There's really no interaction right away once we get off the bus anyway. We just kind of saying hello as we go in to check in and get ready for the game the next day. And it's like that every stadium, every city that we go to.
All right, Ernie, as we wrap up, I got to get some Gator questions into Ernie Mills. 6-1, ranked in the top six. If they win out, they're going to the playoff. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But Kyle Trask, having one of the best Gator seasons at quarterback ever, what are you seeing from Kyle Trask that's made him so good?
It's poise. I think he's poised. You can see, even when he have a bad throw, you can see that he's not affected by it. He feels confident. He's playing with a great amount of confidence right now. He's throwing the ball well. He's anticipating exceptionally well. And they're using every player. That's the greatest thing that I love about Trask. They're using tight ends. They're using receivers. They're throwing the ball to the running backs. They're using every skill position on that field. And he doesn't sit back there and pat and hold the ball all day and take sacks and fumbles and things like that. So that's making him play pretty well.
You know, we asked you about this when we had you on Wednesday, but for the benefit of our Sunday audience, as a Gator alum, you have to love what you see out of Dan Mullen right now.
Yes, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. We talked about it on Wednesday. As a receiver position, I absolutely love seeing him throw the ball. I know when Spurrier came in, I love the fact that I got a chance to catch the ball more, have more opportunities. You know, when you come into the game as a receiver, you have a chance to make a difference in the game. And I think that's what I love, what he's doing, and being considered for so long as a running coach. And they still run the ball. I think they really got to get the running game to improve a little more, because it opened up so many things. But he's doing an excellent job. He's very excited about the program and where it's going and where he can continue to take it. And I think it's doing great with the state of Florida and with the recruiting.
Ernie, they are on an absolute collision with Alabama. It's like they're just shoving people out of the way, and they're going to meet up at the 50-yard line in Atlanta on December 19th, and let's go. And not only does it appear that the SEC championship will be on the line, a spot in the college football playoff will be on the line, but potentially the winning quarterback is going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
What you've seen out of Florida, what do they have to do to beat Nick Saban in Alabama?
We have continued to improve defensively. I think the last few games we have done a much better job defensively. And it's going to be a physical game. I'm sure the guys and the players and the coaches know that that's what's going to happen. You know, going into the game, it's going to be a very physical game. I think the biggest thing is that having confidence. I think the guys are playing with so much confidence based off of how they played last year down the stretch and starting off this year. I think those players feel so much confidence going into the game, which probably hasn't been the case in the last several times that we played Alabama. So I think that's the biggest difference.
He's a former Florida Gator, but tonight he's very happy because he's a former Pittsburgh Steeler. Ernie Mills, Pittsburgh with a 27-3 victory today over Jacksonville. Ernie, appreciate you stopping by, man.
All right, thanks, man.
Ernie Mills, always a pleasure, was a great member of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Florida Gators. As we begin to wrap up here at Island Girl, every week on the fifth quarter, we do give you a performance painting, play of the game. And RJ, let's do it right now. The performance painting, play of the game.
Now, the performance painting, play of the game. Performance painting, quality coatings applied with pride.
Jaguar rookie Daniel Thomas with an interception off of Ben Roethlisberger to end the first half. He actually had a really nice return out to about midfield. That is this week's performance painting play of the game as the first career interception for Daniel Thomas, and it prevented the Steelers from adding on right before the end of the first half. That'll about wrap it up. Now, keep in mind, local programming continues here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. The Sports Den, Denny Thompson, Big Game James Coleman. They will have you beginning in just a couple of minutes, and they'll take you all the way up to 10 o'clock tonight. We will be back with you, Leon and I, on the XL primetime. Lunch with Leon tomorrow at high noon. I got a lot of people to thank. Big Country out here. Really appreciate his work setting us up here at Island Girl. And my goodness, the guest list, absolutely spectacular. Of course, Leon Searcy, who's with me every week here on the fifth quarter. Former Jacksonville Jaguar Greg Huntington joined us earlier. The Mangler, always love talking to Greg. Former Jacksonville Jaguar Big Sofa, Damon Jones. Former Jacksonville Jaguar linebacker Tommy McManus. All were heard tonight on the fifth quarter. Former Dallas Cowboy head coach Dave Campo. And you just heard from Pittsburgh Steeler and former Florida Gator Ernie Mills as Pittsburgh gets it done tonight, 27-3 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Pittsburgh improves to 10-0. Hard to believe that it's the first time in franchise history the Steelers have been a perfect 10-0, but they looked every part of it today, a dominating win over the Jaguars. The Jaguars fall to 1-9. Obviously, there's a lot more questions for Jacksonville than we have answers right now. We will see how things progress over the next six games. It begins next week with the Cleveland Browns coming into town. I will tell you, the late games are all in the books. How about Indianapolis, as we're speaking, just knocks off Green Bay. The Indianapolis Colts are winners. Rodrigo Blankenship, the former Georgia kicker, nails a field goal in overtime. So Indianapolis beats Green Bay. Denver knocks off Miami. It was not Tua time in Denver today. Tua struggling a little bit as the Denver Broncos beat the Miami Dolphins 20-13. So that's a bad loss for Miami. They're right in the thick of it in playoff contention. Unfortunately, the New York Jets fell this afternoon to the Chargers. The Jets are now 0-10, still controlling that number one pick as the Chargers beat the Jets 34-28. And the Dallas Cowboys knock off the Minnesota Vikings 31-28. So plenty of upsets on this Sunday. Unfortunately, there was not an upset here in Jacksonville as Pittsburgh gets it done 27-3. Thank you for listening to the Window World of Northeast Florida. Fifth quarter, we have been presented by Donato's Pizza. RJ Saunders, great job back at the studio. Jacksonville, don't go anywhere. Denny Thompson, James Coleman, the Sports Den is coming up next all the way to 10 o'clock right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. And from Island Girls Cigar Bar in Gate Parkway, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.